This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to another edition of Fender Bender, Joy 94.9's very own motoring program. My name is Tim Nicholson, and I'm super excited to have your company today. Thanks, of course, to Mark and Joe and the gang from Escape Pod. They'll be back next week, so make sure you tune in and hear those wonderful human beings. And speaking of wonderful human beings, I'm here alone today. And no, I'm kidding. There are wonderful human beings here in the studio. Mike Costello, hello.
Hello, Tim.
How are you? Are you?
I'm fiddling with this new microphone.
You are.
I'm very confused.
You are a little bit confused. It's weird, isn't it? It's all a bit we're in different environments here. And we've also got special guest star, as I do call him, the Heather Locklear of Fender Bender, Byron Matthew Darkus.
Hi all.
How are you?
Hey, good. I've popped my 2014 radio cherry just then.
I know, right now.
And
exactly.
You just popped it.
I hope it didn't hurt.
It always hurts when you pop that cherry, Mr. Nicholson.
It's true. It's true. Now, Mike. You haven't had a good start to the day. Someone did something to you that violated
yes.
you,
yes.
I believe.
Someone gave me a haircut that I didn't quite want. But it grows back, so it's okay.
It's true.
I must admit, I did come in very angry today.
Look, hey.
I think as an etiquette, you know, if you've got like sideburns or something going on, you know, just ask before you just get rid of them entirely.
But you can't just go ahead and do it.
Before you wholesale take like 9 feet of hair off somebody's head, maybe just, you know, just check that you're not going overboard. But it's all right because it grows back.
It's true.
What about the Brazilian you got? Was it?
No, well, that was fine. Yeah, it was fine. She was warmed up by then.
Oh, God. Waxing.
Waxing lyrical.
That's right. Hey. Here on Fender Bender or Joy 94.9. We've got a big show. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. We're going to talk about, Byron, you're going to discuss your involvement with Wheels Car of the Year.
That's right.
An iconic award every year. Not as iconic, obviously, as the Fender Bender Raddest Car of the Year.
No. It's second best.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're nearly there.
I don't think we'll ever be there, to be honest with you.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. But we've got lots more coming up as well. So do make sure you stick around. Mike is going to talk about the new Mazda 3, one of the most important launches of the year. So that'll be an interesting chat a little bit later. But right now, we've got a bit of news, guys. So we're just going to get straight to it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Let me tell you something. Well, the Productivity Commission inquiry, which I thought was going to be released in like March or something, they've kind of released a few things or something in the last 24 hours or 48 hours, suggesting that Australia's car industry should not receive any more assistance.
Yeah. So the PC is an advisory body to the federal government who decides if money gets given to car makers and parts makers. And, of course, it was set up before Holden announced it was going to close its doors. So the landscape's changed a bit since it all started. So they've obviously hastened it out. They came out overnight. And they also made an announcement. They said after 2020, there should be no more taxpayer money to any car maker or any parts maker in any way, which basically, if the government elects to take the advice of the board that it's set up to advise it, then Toyota will go because they can't survive without money. There's a whole bunch of things in there that are incredibly interesting. They've also proposed a used car model similar to New Zealand, where you can just buy any old crap box from anywhere around the world without any regulations.
Wow.
I want to see that. They basically want to open up the whole thing and get rid of any government intervention in any way, which it sounds kind of dull, but it would actually change a landscape of the automotive scene completely.
Right.
You know, and it's a weird one because they kind of dropped the news on a Friday afternoon and it kind of slipped under the radar, but it's actually a massive deal.
Yeah, right.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the government actually listens, well, it's basically the end of the Australian car industry.
Mm.
I'll call it that. It's pretty heavy.
Well, it's certainly the end of the Australian automotive manufacturing industry, but also it has long-term implications for our used car park, because suddenly we're going to get a lot of near new and perhaps not very safe cars or cars that don't meet our stringent Australian design rule regulations.
Oh.
And that, of course, has flow-on effects as they get older, generationally, not only in terms of financial upkeep, because parts will be harder to get, but also safety, you know. People will buy cheaper cars that are frankly crapper than they need to be.
That's a shame, isn't it?
You know, you see those strange Japanese imports like, you know, Delica, People Movers, and old crappy beat up Nissan Skylines and things that they're frowned upon. In New Zealand, they're everywhere because they don't have any regulations against it. And there's a lot of dodginess that takes place there. The odors are wound back and all sorts of things go on. And that's what is proposed to happen here now.
Well, why would they do that? Especially if it if it's going to impact the safety of a near new cars in this country.
It seems that the PC is basically opposed to any kind of government intervention in the car industry in any way.
Wow.
But it kind of shows a complete lack of understanding of the way the car industry should work. Everywhere else in the world, there's government involvement. And so you get these guys coming in who are probably a little right of centre, if we're going to think about it rationally, who just want the government to get their sticky hands out of everything that's in the private sector. But it doesn't work. But they want it to work. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. All they can do is advise.
Yeah,
but
right.
their advice is taken pretty seriously. So it's it's cause for concern.
It is. Even car enthusiasts like us who like seeing oddball cars in the streets and weird names, you know, like the Delica and all the other crazy car names that we don't see, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Especially if safety is going to be impacted, then I'm against it. I'm going to say it right now, guys.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
He's hard outrageous.
I know, right? Now, moving on to a few other things, a little bit more light-hearted news internationally. BMW, guys, something has leaked in the last 24 hours.
Oh, those Germans do love a leak.
I've seen some videos. Now, the 4 Series, we all know the 4 Series. It's the coupe version of the 3 Series.
It's the first good-looking BMW in a long time.
It's a good-looking thing, isn't it? Well, we knew this might have been happening, but it seems to have been, it's almost not confirmed, but look, let's just say it almost is. There is a 4 Series Grand Coupe.
What?
Which,
what you talk about there, Willis?
Four Series Grand Coupe, which is essentially a 3 Series.
Yeah, so you know,
is
you
it
got,
not?
You got the 6 Series Grand Coupe and you got the 5 Series sedan. And the 6 Series Grand Coupe is a 5 Series sedan with a bit of a lower roof and a slightly sportier profile, like a Mercedes CLS. Now, they're going to downsize that and make a 4 Series take with the same styling, which I suppose would be a rival for maybe the Merc CLA. Maybe.
I guess.
At a pinch, I'm not sure. But it's one of those, BMW's obsessed with niches within niches within niches within niches. It's, you know, the 4 Series is a niche car to begin with. Then you have a niche version of that. It's when the hell does it end?
Well, I was going to say, a utility version.
Let me say.
I did that for an April Fool.
Well, there's nothing new under the sun because, you know, the Japanese have been doing this for years with their hardtop versions of their three-box sedans, which we used to see here in the guise of, say, a Toyota Corona and the Mark II spin-off, which had, like, a swoopier roof. The Mazda 929 in the 80s, it was like a formal four-door sedan and a coupe four-door sedan.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Toyota Camry that was sold here as a Lexus ES 300 in the early 90s was the same deal. So it's just...
They're copying 80s Japanese ideas.
70s and 80s.
Tell that
Japanese.
To the Germans, Byron.
Oh, yeah. So,
speaking of old Japanese 80s cars, I saw a Nissan Cedric in a Montessori car park this morning that I drove.
Wow.
And it had the mirrors on the front.
Was it a Nissan or a Datsun?
Datsun Cedric. It had the silver mirrors, embossed silver mirrors on the front of the bonnet.
Awesome.
Not on the side of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Navy blue with gold badges.
Were you excited?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
He was very,
beep,
very excited.
Yes. Oops.
Sorry. Cedric wouldn't be too happy
Cedric,
to hear that.
No. Do you know what that reminds me of, though? Have you seen the movie The Big Steal?
Oh, yes.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, Claudia Carvin.
Can you believe that in The Big Steal, after decades of loving that Cedric, they buy a Datsun Nissan Pintara.
Can you move the Pintara?
Yeah.
Oh, depression. It depression, was. That car.
I used to have a thing for young Ben in those days.
Yeah, he's not so young anymore. That's fine. He's doing very well overseas. Congratulations, Ben Mendelsohn, if you are listening. Yep. He was in The Dark Knight. Now, moving right along to another, a bit of a show car. I think Chicago Motor Show is next week. Is that right?
The wind is here.
Show car, show car.
Show car, Chicago,
like
show
like
car.
I was lucky enough to go to that show last year.
Yeah.
And I'm not going this year, and I'm very sad because it's a wonderful city. A bit cold this time of year.
Yeah, a little bit chilly. But a few things are going to pop up there. It obviously is growing every year, that show. Pretty big, a big announcement there, reveal rather, is Subaru's next generation Liberty slash, they call it a Legacy over there, don't they?
Yay!
So that boxy, hideous thing that's so American that we've got here is going to be replaced maybe by the end of the year, maybe early next year. Are we excited?
By a slightly less boxy, slightly less hideous thing.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It looks like in some ways they're going back to the fourth generation car, which was the frameless windows, the early 2000s model, you know, the classic Liberty design, which was almost like a Japanese 3 Series BMW in so many ways, back when the Japanese made awesome medium cars.
Yeah.
And now they don't, except for the Mazda 6. And hopefully Subaru's...
Maybe a Cordura.
Iffy. Yeah. But hopefully Subaru goes back to that kind of design, rather than the big, overweight, overwrought, lardy Liberty it is at the moment.
I think... there's a kind of a very kind of vague profile shot of the car on the interwebs, suggesting that it might go back to the fourth generation Liberty that Mike is talking about. But the reality is that fourth generation Liberty, which was unavailable from 2003 to 2009, bombed around the world except in Australia, and they sold half the projected amount. When they released the current ugly one, it just sold its veritables off.
Really?
Especially in North America.
US,
so, I like the idea that they would go back to that beautiful Audi-esque design from 2003 to 2009, but the commercial reality is that it probably will look a bit boothy still.
That's such a shame, because that design, that fifth generation car, is terrific. My cousins just bought one second hand, and I was like, oh, it's a new... No, of course, it's the old Liberty. But it took me a while. It still looks like a fantastic car.
Yeah, that fourth gen one, yeah.
Yeah, what a shame.
And Americans buy more sedans, and the rest of the world kind of lumped together if you take China out of the equation.
2.2 million a year. Did you know that? They buy 2.2 million Camry-style cars every year.
That's twice the entire Australian market.
It's crazy. Mm. Speaking of China, though, BMW are cash in on the, you know, Chinese market and the Chinese New Year.
Oh.
They've released an M6 Year of the Horse version. So a few car makers are doing this. Like, we saw Jeep last year release an Asian-themed variant of the Wrangler. So people are kind of just really blatantly going after that. There's nothing subtle about this. They're just going straight to the Chinese market.
Well, is it Celine or Sarah Jessica that's going to be launching that car? I just thought I'd gay it up a bit.
Oh, wow. Please. Someone needs to.
Yes.
Who's the horsiest? Probably Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Who was the first option?
Celine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. She's pretty.
Yeah.
She's pretty. She's a pretty Canadian lass. She's a lovely eyes.
Is she really?
Yeah. No.
Now, we've got lots more coming up on Fender Bender, so please make sure you stick around. Every man does deserve his own shed. My father's involved with the men's shed, and he's very happy with his involvement in that. So good for you, Dad, if you're listening. Now, something that's happening around now is the Super Bowl. I think it's around now. I don't know for sure. But all of the ads from the Super Bowl are out and about at the moment. I don't know if you guys have seen any of them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the ads are so much better than the game.
Isn't it?
No, I agree.
Oh, I tell you, it's about the ads, and quite frankly... the halftime entertainment. I mean, the last 2 years we've had Madonna and Beyonce. It is the gayest sport in the world.
And it's the 10th anniversary of the nipple malfunction.
Get out. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, when we were both only about 19?
Probably around 19, I would suggest.
That was 10 years ago.
Wowzers. Yes. That makes me feel old. Well, this year they're getting somebody dull, who's very talented, but Bruno Mars. Wow. Well, he's not going to wear a dress. He's not going to do anything fabulous like Madonna or Beyonce. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I remember they had Prince a couple of years ago. Now, that is a halftime show.
That's exciting.
Bruno Mars. He's like the Diet Coke of Prince. Why would you have him on?
Exactly. Look, he's very talented, but who's going to, you know, backing up Beyonce a year later? No one can beat Beyonce.
Oh, I should have just stopped the Super Bowl right then.
I think so.
No more Super Bowls.
It's absolutely
no more
true.
NFL. We're done with this game.
Shut it down.
Why can't they ever get someone cool? I'm sorry, like, you know.
Beyonce's cool.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, I lost my mind.
Do you forget where you were?
Yeah, sorry. I thought we were on Triple R.
you'll be chased out of here with, you know,
sticks.
Pitchforks.
Literally. I will never be chased.
That's true. Now, look, this is crazy. It's around $4 million for a 30-second slot with over 110 million viewers. That is bonkers.
I mean, it's the ultimate ad time.
Yeah.
I hate talking about ad time and things because I sound like an advertising person, which is anathema. But it's true. You know, there's no more valuable audience to put your stuff in front of, and they spend massive dollars. And in order to stand out, they come up with these incredibly creative campaigns. And car makers are kind of, along with alcohol makers, sort of the two that really go above and beyond traditionally.
It must be worth it, though, right? Like, I mean,
absolutely, with that many viewers. But also, the thing goes viral on the internet weeks before when they start leaking the ads, or even just excerpts of the ads. And suddenly, over a billion people are watching these ads.
Well, remember the Volkswagen Darth Vader one from a couple of years ago?
That was gold. That's still gold.
It had like 100 million views in the first day on YouTube. It was just insane.
There's a couple that are floating around this year, and I urge you, dear listener, if you are at home...
After the show.
Yes, after the show. Wait until... Well, just after all of the shows today.
All of the shows. When Joy's off air for whatever reason, like transmission problems, then...
Yeah. Then if you've got time, check out a few of them, because they're all on YouTube, and some of them are absolutely terrific. I checked out a few this morning. Jaguar have got a brilliant one for their F-Type Coupe that's all about British villains, and it's got Ben Kingsley and a few other actors in it, and it's really, really well done. My favourite is the Toyota Highlander, which we'll get here as the Kluger in a couple of months, or next month?
March.
Yeah.
Next month, yeah.
Muppets. They're using Muppets and a really, really hot buff dude.
It's Terry Crews, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's not that hot, but he's buff.
Terry Crews is hilarious. He's a really giant, muscular, former NFL player, but he's also freaking hilarious. He's a comedian at the same time.
Yeah.
And he's amazing.
He's good. He's selling Toyotas.
Hang on, how does the ad go? What's his relationship to Muppets and Toyota?
He just is driving along in his Highlander, and then the Muppets stop him and pretty much hijack his car, and then he gets right into it and takes his shirt off.
It's as entertaining as the Muppets take on Peaches' Shag the Pain Away song.
I have not seen that.
That's
pretty
amazing.
I will be looking that up.
You've
as
not
soon
seen
as this
that?
Show is over.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
But actually, my other favourite, there's one more, which is Kia are releasing, I think it's called a K900, which is their luxury sedan.
Known as the K9 in Korea.
Unfortunate name, isn't it?
It's terrible. But they have resurrected Morpheus. Lawrence Fishburne from Matrix reprises his role as Morpheus for the ad, and it is gold.
Times
and it's explosions. It's, well, you'd think so. He'd be getting a lot of money for that, though.
Do you know Lawrence's daughter makes pornography? As in, she stars in pornography.
Does she?
I'm using the fancy word. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. I was going to say I'd look that up, but I probably will not look that up.
No, NSFW.
Totes NSFW. Anyway, it's very exciting. Everyone should get out and check those things out on the interwebs when they get time, because that's what life is about.
That's
about
true.
The internet. Now, Byron Matthew Darkus.
Hello. Yes, it's
you're
me.
You're a little bit famous. Okay.
That video, look, honestly, I had no control. I didn't realise it was being filmed.
What were you doing with Lawrence Fishburne's daughter? That's all I want to know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm her.
I was just more surprised than anything.
It's a bit confusing.
Just don't tell my husband. Hello, Jim, if you're listening.
Hello, Jim.
You'll be listening to the podcast later. So.
Now, you were involved, of course, with Wheels Car of the Year. I've just flicked through. There are a lot of photos of you in that edition, which is very exciting.
Yeah, they're not very exciting photos, but they are. Goofing around.
Very much goofing around.
It was, there was a few of us, a few gays on Car of the Year this year.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, so we had a bit of fun.
Bit of a family. Now, how was it this year compared to previous years?
Well, in fact, this is my fourth one, and it was the most competitive or closely fought Car of the Year that I've ever been involved in.
Really?
Because there was such a high number of worthy vehicles. Not only the winner, which of course was the Volkswagen Golf, but you know, the VF Commodore ran it close, as did, of course, even closer, the Renault Clio.
So that was second.
Clio was second.
That how it works?
That's right. And the VF was third. That's how the voting fell. But I mean, I love the Mazda 6 there too, and the A3 was a strong car, though it didn't make it to the second group. Round,
I think that got
Golf.
Booted in the first
because
round,
of
didn't
the
it?
Golf. Yeah, only because of the Golf, really. That does the same thing for less, but still, if you're willing to pay the premium, it's my favourite premium small car. But also, the F-Type, I mean, they were great cars. It was a year to remember.
It seems like it was kind of the least controversial year, because the Golf is such a good car. It's won every award globally. I would have thought it would have just been a no-brainer.
Well, the thing is, no one expected the Clio to do as well as it did.
Right.
And the Clio just kept punching above its weight, and still does, of course. And in a lesser year, in a non-golf year, I guess, it would have run away with the award because it was just that surprisingly good. And people forget that the Clio it weighs 100 kilograms less than the model that we didn't get in Australia and has fuel consumption. The base model has fuel consumption to rival a Prius, and it handles, pretty much like a Fiesta. It yet has the refinement of a Polo. All those things. Mm. It just they've really nailed that car as far as we were concerned. The judges were concerned. And then of course there was the VF, which just when you drive the VF, especially when you drive it over you know, a couple of thousand kilometres like we did, you realise that when we lose the Australian car industry, and we will unfortunately lose the, you know, the Australian design and engineered vehicles that are, like the Commodore and the Falcon, it will be heartbreaking because nothing handles our roads, particularly rural roads, like a Commodore and Falcon and Territory.
So, and did you so when you're testing these cars, I imagine you're taking them over a number of different terrains and, and different know, weather environments and all that kind of thing?
Absolutely. It was over an 8-day period. We had access to Holden's Lang Lang Proving Ground, and including the durability circuits and that sort of thing. So we really, they were long, long days, but extremely rewarding. And we put each of the cars that made the final list, the final, I think there were 18 or 19 models, we put them through the paces, each consistently, methodically, one by one, until we, you know, we started culling the list down. And that sort of thing really does show how it shows differences in cars in situations where you don't really experience every day, but you will experience if you're driving on an open road and you need to dodge a kangaroo. Or well, you shouldn't dodge a kangaroo, you should actually hit it. But if you need to, you know, to make a manoeuvre to avoid something, that sort of thing, and braking and high-speed stability and how the cars perform in the rain and that sort of thing. So,
it's a pretty intense period. Did you get sick of each other by the end of the 8 days? Or were you like sister and brother and, you know, like a family?
Well, this year it was... this year was probably the most harmonious that I've been involved in. And to work with people, stalwarts like Peter Robinson and John Kerry is just amazing, absolutely amazing. No, it was fun. It was
so no punch-ons then.
No, there was... I mean, there's always argy-bargy. People do disagree on cars and... I thought there was a particular car that I think should have gone in the top three in lieu of another one, personally, and I think there was some hair pulling there going on.
Are you allowed to say what that is?
Well, I could. Yeah, of course, I can. I thought the Mazda 3 should have, Mazda 6 rather, should have had a higher placing than he did.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
But you know,
I was very surprised it didn't.
Surprised. Yeah. But you know, as did a couple of others. But you know, that's the thing about Car of the Year. Also, if you buy the issue, you'll see that there are pages and pages of us, you know, discussing why we think these cars should progress. And, and don't forget, this is the longest running continuous Car of the Year award in the world, and it's 51st year this year.
Okay,
50th, 51st. So
like twice my age. Yeah.
Twice your age, exactly, and three times your age, Mike. If that's the case. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. It's the best thing I do work-wise each year.
Tell me, though, was there any vehicles that kind of got booted out early that you were surprised about? And I know you said before maybe the Audi A3, that was in the first round of booting.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you were like, really? We're getting rid of this car now?
Well, I expected that the A-Class might have done better.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it went up against its, its competition, you realise that... something, you know, Volkswagen and Audi have been at this segment for, you know, Volkswagen, it's Golf's 40th birthday this year. Do you know the Golf turns 40 this year?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they've been building that sort of car continuously, and Audi since 1996, so which was a Golf, well, it spawned the Golf 4. But anyway, so experience showed there. But not really. I mean, in a lesser year, the Cayman would definitely have been in the top three, I think, and probably the F-Type would have progressed to the second round as well in a less competitive year. But 2013 will be seen as a vintage year in terms of new models. It was just a absolute shedload of excellence that came through. And I'm totally support the decisions that were made.
Yeah, because I imagine the wheels would get feedback from punters who were probably quite angry that certain vehicles missed out on even making the cut at all. Like I noticed, I was saying before we came on air, Volvo V40 wasn't even in the cut, for example.
That's right, because one of the requirements is that if cars don't win a group test, and if they come last or second last in a, say, four-car comparison, which I think the V40 did just a couple of issues beforehand, not because it was bad or anything, but just the others were particularly good, then there's no point having that. All it does is it just crowds the culling process later on. But yeah.
And golf a worthy winner in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it shows that it is truly an engineering masterpiece, in particularly in its base model form. So if you've only got in the low to mid 20s to spend, you will get the best car in the world at that price. That's new, I believe.
You kind of want to hate the Golf in a way because, you know, it's been so good for so long. You sort of almost want Volkswagen, that Aussie mentality, you know, and you know, I went and drove the new Golf and I just thought, this is like Byron. For a $21,000 car, it feels like a $50,000 car. Its refinement, its handling, its design, it's everything. It does nothing wrong. It's the definition of a five-star car. Yep. It really is.
And it did come a very close runner-up in the Fender Bender Rattus car.
It was my personal vote.
It was true.
Fender Bender Rattus car of the year.
That's true.
Although I can see it's not a rad car, is it? It's just a good car.
Yeah. Maybe the GTI could have been the Rattus car.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah. That class it competes in, that C segment, is the world's biggest selling segment of cars. And, you know, it's up against worthy opponents like the Mazda 3 and the Ford Focus, which are also excellent. And also, I believe the next generation Peugeot 308 is a good thing as well.
Yep.
So, you know, it's probably the most hard-fought class in the world.
And it just got a lot harder because the Mazda 3 has come out, and we are going to talk about that very shortly. So stick around on Fender Bender. It sure does have a podcast, so you should go and get it, because we are amazing to listen to over and over again. You are listening to Fender
Bender. That was the creepiest thing I've ever heard you say.
You haven't heard me late on a Saturday night. Tim, Mike and Byron here with you on Fender Bender. We've had a message in from the lovely Melina. Thank you very much for texting in. You can always text in on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au if you want to hear anything. Melina has mentioned that there's going to be a special advertisement for the reunion of Seinfeld during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh, well, I think they're going to perform in an ad. The cast are getting back together.
Right. But it's not the show or anything.
No, I don't think so, as far as I know. But we knew they were going to do something. And I think they're going to... I don't really know the full details on it. But it's kind of amazing to see those four back in a room again.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if it means that Michael Richards has been put back on the, you know, Hollywood welcome list after 10 years in exile for using a racist...
Slur?
Yeah. Maybe he's been welcomed back with open arms into the fold.
Possibly. We'll soon
find
out.
You say arms in, didn't you?
It took a while. Now, we were talking about small cars. You were talking about the Wheels Car of the Year before, Byron, and mentioned it's now got some huge competition, the Golf, and that is in the Mazda 3, which is out, I think, as of now, today.
Perhaps. Yes. February 1st is its on sale date.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
there you
welcome.
Go.
And
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birth.
Happy birth.
Yeah. Happy birth.
Australian birth. You can guarantee a lot of people have already gone and bought one because it will be Australia's top-selling car in 2014. I have no doubt about it. 11 and 12, it was the highest-selling car in Australia. Of course, in 11, it beat the Commodore. Last year, the Corolla beat it, but that's because it was aging in the end of its life. And this car is a much better value proposition than before. So it will be the most popular car in Australia this year. But it doesn't just need to be better than the Corolla to beat the sales race. We talked about the Golf before, and the Mazda 3 has always been one of the best offerings in the segment, but it's never been as good as a Golf. And when this model was first revealed, there was a long lead press sort of reveal, and we got to drive it in America, and we got to drive it on the proving ground in Australia, and early signs were that there would be no car that would challenge the Golf and its ascendancy quite as well as the Mazda 3. We knew the Focus was good, but we thought the 3, if there's ever going to be a car that's going to beat this bloody Golf, it's going to be the Mazda 3, the third generation 3. And it doesn't.
Ooh.
It's not as good as the Golf. It is a very, very good car, and in some ways, it's the best car in the segment. It's much better equipped than the old one, and it's extremely good value, you know, across the board. For a 23 grand car, you're going to get things like sat nav, which is, you know, quite rare at that price point.
You should just mention that's from max upwards.
From the 23 grand one. And, you know, 20,490 is a pretty sharp starting price. It's not quite Pulsar or Corolla sharp, but it is pretty sharp. That being said, there are some key areas that were a problem with the old car that they haven't really fixed with the new one.
Right.
And considering the new one's got a whole new platform, it's got a whole new design, a whole new range of powertrains, the works, it's still really, really noisy.
That's a shame.
Really, really noisy.
That was a big bugbear with the previous generation,
NVH, road noise, tyre roar, and engine noise really permeates the cabin. I don't know if you'd agree with that, Byron.
I agree wholeheartedly. I happen to have done 2,500 Ks in one, and in two, in fact. And they, it seems to me that the gap that has always existed between the Golf and the Mazda 3, i.e. the Golf being the quiet, sophisticated and refined one, while the Mazda 3 being the slightly loud and kind of brash one, remains.
Really?
Yes.
But didn't they say that they've worked on that?
They did. Then again, you have a look at the size of the R&D department for Volkswagen compared to Mazda, right, and perhaps that therein lies your answer. Mazda is a global minnow, really. Mazda is an unusual company because it's 10% of its global sales happen in Australia. It's amazing. There's no other company like that. There's no other country on earth where the Mazda 3 is the top-selling car. Mm. It just doesn't happen. Only in Australia.
I should change the name to Mazda, like Oz, as in Oz, Australia.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
I just came up with that. Oh, my God. Just woken up. Hello, where am I? Sorry, Mike.
But the good news is, all those things that were always great about the 3 remain. Mm. It's still one of the most stylish cars to look at, and I think that's the key to Mazda's success here, is they make a good-looking, stylish, sporty car, and Aussies love that. It's still one of the most agile and dynamic cars. Its steering isn't quite as doesn't have quite the feel of the previous one, but it still turns in beautifully. It's still dynamically very strong.
Mm. And it feels rock solid at 200 kilometres an hour, I hear.
Byron just winked.
A wink
for the,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I hear.
Yeah.
That Camry
more so, more so than maybe than the Golf does at 200 kilometres an hour, if I were to ever drive on a private track.
I mean, could this be a family car? Is there enough space in these small cars?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's actually less legroom in terms of millimetre measurements than the old one, and the old one wasn't that large in back.
Right.
But the new one feels more spacious. I don't quite know. They've got a lower seat height, which might have something to do with it. Look, you put a couple of kids in the back, absolutely. Mm. But people don't buy the Mazda 3 or the Corolla or the Golf as a family car. Mm. They don't. They buy the less SUVs. So it'll be for single people or couples that'll drive this car. But, you know, it's still coming away from it, you know, to cut a long story short, it and the Focus are the two challengers to the crown still. Mm. It's a really, really, really good car. And, you know, Mazda now have cap price servicing as well, which kind of addresses one of the bugbears of that brand, which is that it always was a bit pricey to service a Mazda compared to its rivals, and it's no longer. So it's still a really, really good ownership proposition. It's still a really, really sharp drive. It looks great. It's well equipped. It just isn't quite as good as a Golf. And that's the big question when you come into the launch of that car.
So why isn't the Golf the number one selling car in Australia then, if it's so good and if it's reasonably on par price-wise with something like a Mazda 3? Why, you know, I think it occasionally slips into the top 10, the Golf, doesn't it?
It's a bit of a mystery. I was fortunate enough to interview the global president of Mazda during the week, which was it's his first ever trip outside in his new role. And it's not every day you get to talk to, well, the Aussie term is straight from the horse's mouth. Yeah. It's not every day you get to talk to a bloke like that. And I said to him, why do you think Mazda is so hugely successful in Australia compared to any other market? And even he has no idea. No one in Mazda seems to quite know.
Great.
They have a thing in Japan, in Hiroshima, where they actually send budding executives to Australia to study Australia and work out, why the hell do we do so well here? And in Europe and in parts of Asia, we're a complete minnow. Yeah. They just can't work it out.
I believe I spoke to the managing director of Mazda Australia a few months ago about this too.
What's his name again?
Martin Benders.
Thank you. Yep.
Very, very gay friend, the name. We need to get him on the show.
We do. Fender Bender, Martin Benders.
He'd totally come on the show. Good luck.
Anyway, and Mr. Benders reckons that it's because Mazda has had nigh on 40 plus years of continuous dealer support. So when people buy a Mazda, they get looked after and they want to go back to buy another Mazda.
And they tell their friends, more important.
So it's a groundswell of customer service and support combined with reliability and function. And that's, I think, the secret.
And because they've won, I think, well, not won, but they came out on top in some kind of dealer satisfaction survey out of all of the brands quite recently.
And it's an underappreciated thing because we can sit here and wheels can sit there and we can say, you know, this car handles better than that car. End of the day, what people want is to go to a dealer they know and trust, be treated respectfully, have their car fixed cheaply and efficiently, and to have a completely painless ownership of a vehicle.
Yep.
That's what they want.
Totally.
And Mazda seems to do that probably better than anybody else.
Anybody else, you're absolutely right.
If the surveys are right. And that's the big deal. Yeah. And not only do they go back, but they tell everybody they know, my Mazda's great.
Yeah.
You know, you go speak to a young girl, they all drive Mazda 2s. It's like
a stereotype alert.
It's true that you tell your friends.
I know a lot.
You tell your friends to buy the car that you love, that has treated you well, that you've had an enjoyable experience with, and Mazda seem to do that better than anybody.
Just to answer your question from earlier, Volkswagen has supply issues with the Golf still.
Oh, really?
Internationally, but also their dealer network cannot really handle any more volume.
Oh, right.
If they're going to have any hope of approaching the Japanese in terms of customer and service. So that's another thing that keeps the Golf back in Australia. Mm.
And I've mentioned this before on the program, but when I lived in Japan a few years ago, it was interesting because the perception of Mazda there is completely different. And I remember speaking to a student of mine who was into cars, and he always said that, oh, once you buy a Mazda, you always buy a Mazda because you can't sell it at a dealer or whatever, you just have to keep buying a Mazda again. And I'm like, wow, that is the opposite of what we've got in Australia.
Yeah, in Oz, it's the most loved non-premium European brand.
Also, and they're also on their own, aren't they, Mazda? They're not part of any kind of giant conglomerate. They are on
Ford,
their own.
Yeah. Well, they're owned by banks and that sort of thing.
Oh, really?
And Mazda has been on the brink of bankruptcy twice in the time that I've been a motoring journalist.
Jeepers.
So internationally, not in Australia, I should say this. So they've got a reputation for being a bit Looney Tunes in Japan as well.
Right. Please.
Oh, I was just going to say, another thing on the Golf is most Golfs sold are high-end. The GDI is the most popular variant, used to be anyway.
Right.
25% of all Golf sales. Aussies buy Golfs as a premium car.
Yeah.
They don't tend to buy a lot of real base model Golfs. They don't see Golf as a Corolla or a 3 Rival at the bottom end for some reason. I don't know why.
Maybe they
if you look at the sales split, it tends to be very, very biased towards the top end. Mm. Whereas with its rivals, the bottom end, the base car sell the most. So it's a strange one.
I'll tell you what. I know you said before that the 3 will be the top selling car of this year. Well, I've got a challenge for you. Not a challenge for you, but the Toyota Corolla sedan is coming on sale very soon.
It is, in a couple of weeks' time.
Surely that will have a bit of an impact on sales. It looks all right.
Byron is actually going to be attending the launch on behalf of our mutual publication.
Yes.
So I'll be very curious to hear what he has to say about the car.
What it's like.
But Corolla hatch is a pretty solid little car. It's a perfectly reasonable car to be number one. It doesn't do much wrong.
Mm.
And they've been lingering on with this ancient previous generation sedan for a long time.
Yeah.
Now they have a new one, and you're dead right. That's going to make a serious impact.
That's going to be a big year.
The big question is the pricing, because it's going to be out of Thailand, so they have some wriggle room. And if they come in hard, and I suspect they might come in, they might come in against the Pulsar in terms of pricing. So it's like they might even come in at 19 rather than 20.
Jeepers!
That will really put the cliche amongst the pigeons.
There you go. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Every single rental fleet will be tripping over itself to 19.
Exactly. If you're a Mazda fan, let us know. 0427JOY949. Or email on air at joy.org.au. Do you love the brand as much as the rest of this country seems to? Stick around, we've got lots more coming up. It is a very uplifting radio station here. I hope we're uplifting. Do you think we're uplifting?
I think that song was uplifting. Group Love.
Yeah.
Oh, they went off at the big day out, which I went to last week.
So how was the big day out? Because I don't want to go to those anymore, because I feel like
a fossil.
I like going there because I can get my Southern Cross tat out and my giant six pack abs, and I can go and beat up some dudes.
I loved it. I was in amongst it all, near the mosh pit. I'm a bit too old to get near the mosh pit, but I wasn't the oldest person there. I'm 46, I'm 29, but loved it.
Were they your highlights or Group Love?
Oh, Group Love, Arcade Fire, the Hives were so...
Sorry, Arcade Fire.
Oh, my God, Arcade Fire. You know what? I had a tear in my eye. And it wasn't only because I was peeling an onion at the time, but it was just... They are
consummate. You got pepper sprayed for trying to jump the stage.
Yeah. Loved it. So I recommend it, and it's... just the boiler room as well, which was actually a bit kiddie. It was a bit of a kiddie crash, but what a great opportunity just to go there. I mean, I just love music.
They're saying it could be the last big day out.
This is what I'm hearing.
Mm.
That AJ Matter.
Come on,
it's an interesting
in his
chap.
Defense. I think it was in a fair bit of strife before.
It sounds like it.
I also enjoyed Rufus, by the way, Sydney-based
catchy
electronica band.
Oh, yeah. I'm going next week to see, on the steps of the Sydney Opera House, The National.
I'm seeing them in Melbourne.
Are you really?
Yeah. Oh, I think I like your one better there, Tim, on the steps of
I didn't know they did that just with any old band. You know, Crowded House, sure. But the National, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Very excited.
They're a good band. They're a very solid band.
And if you
has a very deep voice.
Yeah, that's true. If you like indie music, especially Australian indie music, you should stick around after 4 o'clock because the fabulous Hannah is in with Little Fish and she can tell you all about that. Now, I believe we've had a text message in from Linz about the Mazda.
Yes.
About Mazda, not the Mazda.
Who loves Mazda. This is one example of the millions of Australians who do. Not that I've had a lot of cars, she says or he says, but I started with a Laser, which I was told had a Mazda engine. Then went to the Mazda 3 and loved it. I have since upgraded to an SP23 when her car was ridden off and loves it to death. I only have two issues, road noise and no keyless boot entry. Road noise, absolutely. It is a problem. But other than that, great car, that first SP23. And in my opinion, the best looking of all the threes, the very first generation.
Really?
I should suggest that she, Lynn, he or she?
Linz,
sorry. You probably like Ford small cars because there's a lot of Ford engineering in your previous cars, including the Ford Laser based Laser 2-3, which was a co-op. Mostly done out of Hiroshima, but yeah, anyway, go on.
FYI, I get really annoyed when I get a car that has, or have, you know, something to do with a car that has no keyless boot entry. I get really, I don't know why you can't just put it on the darn keys, guys.
It's outrageous.
I know, I will call the police.
I have a car this week that actually has a key, because, you know, getting a new car every week, I'm so used to just keyless entry now where you hold the key in your pocket and it never leaves your pocket.
First world problem here.
Yeah, and now I actually have to stick the metal key in the friggin' ignition barrel. It's outrageous.
That is weird. I just wouldn't drive it. I'd just leave it.
Disgraceful.
Yeah. Now, speaking of what Linz was talking about, cars that are, you know, badged as other cars, we've had a lot of that here in Australia, particularly in the 80s. Was it the button car plan?
That's right. Yep, it was in order to make the industry more efficient by having fewer models shared across more brands. Mm. And I lived right through that.
Yeah.
As opposed to you, probably, Mr.
Ford Maverick. What a car.
What a car.
That's a bad example because it actually was a Japanese import. But it was a result of the button, but it wasn't actually an Australian produced car, which they wanted to streamline
production. But it came out of the arrangement for Nissan to rebadge the Ford Falcon Ute.
And the Matilda project, which was
what we were talking about before.
That's right. If we may go back to that Australian film that we were talking about earlier.
Yes. Big Steel.
That's right. That particular Pintara, which was the second generation Pintara / Nissan Bluebird in Japan.
Oh, yep.
Was rebadged the Ford
Corsair. Ford Corsair, which I think went down as one of the most boring cars. It was actually awarded some kind of, or not that it's an award, but was named the most boring car of all time.
Well, one of the worst cars ever made in Australia. I'm sure we'll get someone out there bringing up and complaining.
What about the Super Hatch? My friend had a Super Hatch, a Nissan Pintara Super Hatch. Yeah. Don't know why, and I question him daily because of it.
Because it's got the name Super Hatch.
How good. And you know what? We actually should get real about these things. We complain about the amount of road noise that a Mazda 3 might have compared to a Golf, but that car truly was like riding around in a vibrator. And not in a good way. It was
riding around on a vibrator or in?
Riding around, whatever you like, whatever you like. But it just was it was just rough as guts. And I'm sure people out there, and really slapdash.
Yeah.
And it's
a little bit.
But there were other cars as well. I mean, Toyota and Holden got into bed famously to produce the Apollo and Nova.
Nova. And my first car, second generation Holden Nova, called Sybil.
Sybil.
Because of Sybil, Shepherd? The telly movie, starring Sally Field, who has multiple personalities. And that's why I called her Sybil, because it was a Holden, but it was really a Toyota.
But I looked at you and thought Sybil Shepherd.
Oh, thank you. Moonlighting.
The Last Picture Show, which is one of the best movies ever.
Very good move. Tess has texted in, Fiat and Chrysler are selling each other's cars now. They very much are. And look, that hopefully, eventually, will result in some terrific products.
In fact,
products.
It's interesting we touch on that, because there was some news on that front during the week.
Correct.
Fiat has bought Chrysler. They've taken Chrysler over. It's not a merger. And they've now officially become one company called Fiat Chrysler Automobiles with a new logo, a new emblem, a new shared headquarters in the Netherlands. Which
that's weird,
strange.
Right? Yeah.
It's all tax-based. But it was before two companies under one umbrella. Now it's just one company.
Yep.
They'll still have their unique badges. They'll still be Jeeps. They'll still be Dodgers and Chryslers and Fiats and Alphas and the whole bloody works. But as far as it's all concerned, it's 100% Italian-owned.
It's been a long, protracted engagement, and now the wedding day has finally arrived.
Has Lancia survived, you know?
Lancia has one model left in Italy. I think it's the Ypsilon, maybe, and I don't like its chances.
No. Now, some other cars that have been rebadged and sold as different models, guys. I don't know if you know about this, but the Isuzu Trooper. Not sure if you've heard of it. Mm. We know it as the Holden Jackaroo. Okay, that's remember the Jackaroo? Mm-hmm. Lasted for a long time in Australia.
From 1981 to 2004?
But only in like two generations.
There were two two main generations. There were lots of facelifts. Yeah.
Well, that also sold...
Like Madonna.
It also sold as an Acura SLX, which is Honda's premium brand in America. And this is my favourite. It sold as a Subaru Bighorn. Now... I want a Bighorn.
Also, Isuzu Bighorn, because in New Zealand, I used to see a lot of Isuzu Bighorns.
You would see a lot of Bighorns
in
New Zealand.
And I sat next to a gentleman on a plane a couple of years ago, and he said, I drive a Bighorn. And I said, well, would you like a drink?
Hopefully he was attractive. But this, look, it happens a bit. Land Rover Discovery apparently was also rebadged as a Honda Crossroad, which I didn't know about. Thank you, Wikipedia.
And a Honda Passport.
Passport?
It was called the Honda Passport.
I love that. How ridiculous.
Prove me wrong, someone. I'm a bit iffy about that, but I'm pretty sure there was definitely a Passport. So
that would have been the worst built Honda of all time.
Possibly. Exactly. Yeah. Now, boys, we have come to the end of the show, unfortunately, so it is time to say another week.
Leaving with Bighorn.
I know.
Overwhelming thought.
I'm going to have to put something across
and
my
in the year of the horse as well.
Bighorn.
In the year of the horse.
Exactly, exactly. Happy Chinese New Year. Out there, people. Yep. But that's it, guys. Thank you, Byron, for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure, treasure.
Oh, please. Thank you, Mike. I hope your sideburns grow back quickly. And thank you to everyone who's texted in, of course. And thanks to Heath on the phones. Do stick around for Hannah, for Little Fish. She's amazing. So are you. Everyone is amazing. This is Tim Nicholson signing off for Fender Bender for another week. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.